Welcome back, Mystery Maniacs, to another fun-filled adventure with the Mystery Machine Diaries. As always, I am your trusted ghost host, Brad, and joined at the hip, and sometimes more, is my co-host,
Chris,
a pup named
Chris.
There we go. We didn't practice. And behind the keyboards of steel is our meddling producer, Daniel.
That's him.
That's what he sounds like. It just all coincides.
That wasn't actually a sound clip. That was him on the mic.
Talking. It was just a coincidence. He's so good at it. And this is indeed the Mystery Machine Diaries, a podcast dedicated to the dissection, dissemination of every episode of Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated, all the way from the very beginning.
That's right. As well as some current Scooby-Doo goings-ons and...
it's true.
Various other kind of whatever else we feel like talking about. So
we try to keep you informed of all things do in the what do we call
the Scooby-Dooniverse?
Scooby-Dooniverse.
Yeah.
Wow, it's trademark. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing pretty well, thanks.
How has your week been?
Week has been pretty solid. We're pretty solidly into spooky time. With Halloween coming up, and so this is my favorite time of year. So I'm having a blast. It's all plaid flannel shirts and autumn decorations and skeletons jumping out of pumpkins for me.
And that was just yesterday. We have been going to lots of haunted houses recently.
We have, yeah. We've been to all the
get scared very
SoCal
easily.
Haunts.
We are definitely Shaggy and Scooby when it comes to going into haunted mazes.
They see us coming for sure.
Producer Daniel was one of the first people to ever go in a spooky corn maze with me.
Really?
Yeah.
To be a skeleton on that wall.
Oh, God. I was terrified.
That's awesome.
And it was a corn maze. And sadly, they don't do it anymore, but it used to be an annual thing.
Too many murders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What with all the murders and
I mean,
such.
It's a corn maze, so.
So, yes, we are all up in the Halloween business, and sadly... No Scooby-Doo haunted houses.
No, I would kill for a Scooby-Doo haunted maze walkthrough experience.
Literally.
VR thing. I don't know. Anything. Anything, guys.
I've been trying.
I know.
With the powers that be have thus far turned me down. But it's okay. I'll never stop trying.
It'll happen. Arkham Asylum has happened. Killer Clowns from Outer Space has happened. Stranger Things has happened.
Oh,
I feel
Stranger
like Scooby-Doo
Things.
is less of a stretch than most of those for a haunted,
you'd
scary
think,
maze.
You'd think. Or if there is a Scooby-Doo maze in your hometown that we don't know about, let us know.
Oh, please tell us and we will
come
out.
We would love to be proven wrong on that. But yes, it is October here and... In most places. It's the time when everyone gets their Scooby-Doo on. This is his time of year.
I think everyone's got a little bit of the mystery gang in them in Halloween season.
Some more than others.
You know what I mean.
Depends on the day. And Scooby News. Scooby News. Chris, do we have any Scooby News for us?
Scooby News.
Scooby News. No, he didn't.
I
study.
Haven't prepared any Scooby News. I'm not sure what has happened in the Scooby-Doo universe.
So,
in the last week.
Please check the Facebook page so you can find me looking for a new co-host. Where else can they find us looking for a new co-host? Pub name Chris.
Applications are being accepted on Facebook and Instagram at the Mystery Machine Diaries, and you can find the podcast itself on Apple Podcasts, Anchor.fm, and Spotify.
Yeah.
Well.
In current Scooby-Doo news, they've just released all the images of the Scooby Gang for the brand new Scooby-Doo movie that will be coming out next year.
Oh, see, I hadn't heard about this. I've seen a couple of them, but...
I was very hopeful in the beginning when they showed me Scooby.
Mm-hmm. Scooby's so cute.
And now the hope is fading.
Oh, no.
Fading. We will post on our Facebook and Insta. The glimpses we've gotten, to be fair, the glimpses have only been promo shots from those standees that they put out in movie theaters.
Oh, okay.
But it's a CG movie.
What do you not like? Or who do you not like?
They said they were going to go for the traditional Scooby-Doo look,
uh-huh.
And they really didn't.
Okay.
For Scooby, they did. But for the others, it's kind of less encouraging.
Gotcha.
But I will hold out hope for the first trailer for the film. But as of right now, my optimism is fading. Muttley. I sent you a picture of Muttley.
You sent me a picture of Muttley.
He looks cute.
He looks fantastic.
So it looks like this movie will have the entire Hanna-Barbera universe involved in some way or another with Scooby-Doo.
Well, that in of itself should give you something to look forward to. That's going to be great.
It does. And Blue Falcon and Dynamite are in it.
Yeah,
and
also.
You know how I love them.
I do.
So if you haven't, definitely after listening to this, check out Facebook, Insta, or on your own. Just Google those images. But there is a big budget movie coming out in just under a year. Why they didn't time it for his 50th anniversary, that's the real mystery.
We'll never know.
It's going to be great, though. I'll be first in line to see it. And I saw the other ones.
Yeah. We'll definitely go see it. I'm looking forward to it.
And I'm also very happy to announce it's a certain anniversary this month. This month is the anniversary of Scooby-Doo and the Witch's Ghost.
Ooh.
Came out in October of 1999.
Classic. That's one of the big fan favorites. That one comes up a lot.
It is, and it's very apt for today's episode, and we'll get into that in a few minutes. But yes, it was the second big release from the Scooby revival.
Mm-hmm.
It followed my favorite all-time Scooby movie, which is what, Chris?
Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island.
Oh, yeah, it did. Still my favorite.
Probably one of the best.
And producer Daniel, we do need to do a special on that because
we will.
It's so good.
We will.
So good.
We'll do a whole, we should do like a live
watching.
Yeah.
Producer Daniel is shaking his head, and so goes our nation. All right. Now, we do have another segment that we'd like to go into, I think, with Christopher.
Yeah. So I've got another Scooby-Doo cocktail for you guys this week. So, after we talk about how to make this drink, pause, go make yourself a drink, and then
pause.
Watch the episode.
Pause.
So pause. This week, we're going to be making mystery mojitos.
Mm.
And this is my twist on a classic mojito. A little bit of prep work is involved. So first of all, you want to go get some coconut milk and mix that one-to-one with water and make ice cubes out of that. So one-to-one coconut milk and water. Throw that in your ice cube tray. Freeze it a couple hours overnight, whatever.
Cool.
And then we can go make the actual drink. The actual drink itself is just a standard mojito recipe. So you're going to take a couple of sprigs of mint. You want about 10 nice big mint leaves. You want a half a lime cut into fourths. 1 to 2 tablespoons of white sugar, depending on taste. I like less sweet. You might like more sweet. Plenty of ice cubes, white rum, and club soda. So you're going to take the mint leaves and 2 lime wedges, put them in the bottom of your mixing glass and muddle, which basically just
muddle?
Means smash up really well with
muddling
the back
kids.
Of the spoon. Exactly. So muddling kids, your mint and lime. It's very good. after you've gotten all the juice out of the lime, you're going to add your sugar and the rest of your lime and give it another quick muddle just to get the rest of the juice out and let those flavors all get to know each other a little bit. At this point, you're going to fill the shaker with ice and then add your rum. On top of that, you're going to add 1.5 ounces to 2 ounces of rum, depending on how big a drink or how strong you want this drink to be. Shake it well. Shake it super, super, super well. And then you are going to strain into a tall, like a Collins glass full of ice.
What's a Collins glass?
A Collins glass is a straight-walled, tall cocktail glass.
Like that didn't clear it up for me, but okay.
Okay, so if you go to a bar and order gin and tonic, they're going to give it to you in a Collins glass.
Okay, like a Joe Collins glass.
Put it in whatever glass you want.
Okay.
And then on top of this cocktail, once you pour that in, you're going to add a couple of mint leaves as garnish and a couple of your ice cubes, your coconut ice cubes that you made earlier. And the coconut in those ice cubes is going to slowly melt into the drink and add a little bit of coconut flavor and sweetness and also turn the drink a kind of cloudy color so it transforms as you drink it. And then if you use the same ice and pour another cocktail over that, because you're going to want more than one of these, they're really, really
damn
tasty.
Damn right I will.
Yeah, you'll get more of the coconut flavor in each drink you pour over the top of that coconut ice. And I'll put some pictures on the Instagram of some that I made at home. And another little fun twist that I added was I put a couple of drops of green food coloring into the coconut ice cubes.
You're crazy.
I know. It's bonkers. But it turns them a really nice...
He's out of control.
Kind of milky pastel green. I call it Mystery Machine green. It looks just like the green color on the Mystery Machine. And then as the ice cubes melt, it turns your drink green. Mystery mojitos, everybody. Delicious.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Christopher.
Yeah, so enjoy.
Responsibly.
Yes, enjoy responsibly. And again, please send me pictures of you responsibly enjoying your mystery mojito and let me know how it went at home.
And they're pretty freaking good.
They're pretty good.
I got it.
This
agree.
One was a real big hit. We made them for a couple of friends, and they went very quickly. Yeah.
Jinkies.
If you want to be extra about the whole thing, just...
We always are.
Be an extra, extra. You can substitute the white rum for cachaça.
Oh.
Or cachaca. I'm not quite sure how you pronounce that. But that's a Brazilian sugarcane-based liquor that's kind of similar to rum, but it's got a more grassy, kind of herbaceous flavor. So you get a little bit less sweetness and a little more of a grassy flavor coming through, and it goes really nicely with the coconut.
That is pretty extra.
That's pretty extra. The more you know. I like a less sweet cocktail, so this plays into that.
You're a less sweet cocktail.
Thanks.
Jinkies.
Thanks, Producer Daniel. So there you have it, folks. Feel free to try that at home responsibly, and it is really good. I can't lie. It's very, very tasty, and it looks really cool, too. Christopher is our mixologist, and he will be coming to you periodically with more drinks and fun things that will help you enjoy Scooby-Doo even more than we already do.
That's right. I'll try to have something fun to try for all you muddling kids at home every week.
Callback. Great. So now we are going to dive right in. We're going to hop into the Mystery Machine for another episode of Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated.
Let's do it.
That's why we're here.
That is.
It's episode 7, debuted August 23rd, 2010. The episode is called In Fear of the Phantom.
The Phantom.
Yeah.
I think that's the wrong Phantom.
No. Well.
I mean, is there a wrong Phantom?
But right? It's, we don't judge here at the Mystery Machine
of the
Diaries.
The Phantom
show,
not the...
We'll get to that. We'll be right back. It does follow the storyline of Phantom of the Opera a little bit. I just love hearing that. The Phantom of the Dive Bar. It's a good run. I love this. Is another favorite episode of mine. The last week's episode got 4 paws, and we'll see what this one gets because we do rate our episodes on a paw scale.
That's right. I was at 3.5 paws last week, so we'll see this week.
We'll see. You might need that drink, folks. But basically, this episode introduces the Scooby Dooniverse of Mystery Incorporated to the Hex Girls.
That's right.
The Hex Girls, Thorn, Dusk, and Luna, are from The Witch's Ghost in 1999.
Oh, that's why they look so familiar. I had heard of these Hex Girls before.
Back then, the Hex Girls were like a Spice Girls, Gothic Spice Girls, and now they're a little more adulty.
It's like goth
else.
Punk rock.
Yeah.
Like an all-girl... punk rock band, which is awesome.
So they've gotten a makeover, and it's not too drastic, and the Hex Girls are some of my favorites.
They're pretty great. I love all their stage names, too.
Yes.
Dusk,
I love
Thorn,
Luna.
And Luna. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Your kitty is named
my
Luna.
My kitty is named Luna. Not after that, but it's a fun coincidence. But we start out with the Hex Girls in concert at the, I don't know if I can pronounce the name of the theater. It's called the Terror Orpheum.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we'll get another. Oh. Yeah. Good job, Daniel. They're going to put a spell on you.
Hex Girls. Yeah.
You went a little bit high there,
Chris. I'm into it.
All right. Simmer down now.
So the have you ever been to the Orpheum Theater? There's a famous theater in San Francisco called the Orpheum. For those of you listening along at home, that's the joke of the Terror Orpheum.
This one's a little more spooky. Well, I don't know. I've seen some of the people at the Orpheum, so it's a tie. Someone who is also a fan of the Hex Girls is our good friend Velma.
Oh, she
Velma is a little excited.
So the gang—I mean, the gang's having a great time. They're all really enjoying it, but Velma's going nuts.
They got front row seats to see the Hex Girls because of Mayor Dad. Mayor Dad got them good seats.
Oh, is that how they got the tickets? I remember them being like, "I don't know, how did we get such great tickets?"
And you know me, looking in the crowd. If you look in the crowd, it looks like I see a few Chan Clan kids in there again.
Sure. They're everywhere.
And a few others, but... Not a few other but. See, but. I said I wasn't going to say but. You're supposed to warn me, guys. Someone that Crisp didn't notice, which one of his favorite characters from the show...
I didn't notice anyone in the crowd, so I'm glad we're going over this now.
The vampire waitress.
The vampire waitress
from the
rare steak the bloody steak. Oh,
she
awesome.
Is also a fan of the Hex Girls.
Fantastic, of course she is.
And her name is Miss Vampire Waitress. They don't give her a name.
I'm okay with that,
but I'll keep the name. But if you remember, the last episode that we're coming off from was the dramatic prom episode with a lot of fallout. So it looks like Velma is really releasing her demons, rocking out to the Hex Girls.
Yeah.
And Fred and Daphne are just kind of oblivious to each other. They're kind of keeping their distance.
There's a little tension there, but yeah, they're giving each other a little bit of space.
But the real
the
real riff now is our good friend Shaggy and Scooby.
Oh, Scooby is straight up cold to Shaggy.
He is Shaggy. I don't promote this, by the way. They're both recording the show, which I don't think you should do. But
on their cell phones, yeah. It'd be kind of annoying.
It looks like they have video cameras.
Oh, is it
just
a little
their
more?
Cell phone.
Okay.
But Scooby keeps getting in the way, which I love.
Shaggy asks him to move, and Scooby turns around and straight up
barks at him.
Like several...
Which is something you rarely hear him
do.
Yeah,
you never hear him make straight up...
Dog noises.
And it's not like it's definitely a person going bark 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 bark. It's not like actual dog noises. So it still sounds like Scooby, but it's a little unsettling.
Your face
I've never seen him that aggressive. Like he's being straight up mean, and it's directed at his best friend Shaggy. Like this is up is down, left is right. What is happening?
What is happening? While all this is happening, it's a happening. There's a ball of lightning, and the Phantom appears on stage.
Yeah, he just poof. Suddenly
and
the Phantom.
He looks like he should be in a Marvel movie.
He looks like my steampunk sci-fi festival look, like wet dream. He looks amazing.
Wow.
I love it. The character, this is like so far, this might be my favorite character design. He's got this incredible like cape. And the
sparkle cape.
The interior, not just sparkle, it looks like TV static.
Oh yeah,
like it's got this this movement to it, and he has this crazy robot mask and these big pauldrony shoulders and everything. He's great. He's perfect.
Did you say pauldrony shoulders?
Pauldrony shoulders.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I just love your phraseology. It's great.
Well,
that's why we have
you. Look at the character. Tell me I'm wrong.
And I know you didn't know this, Christopher, but that design is based on a 1974 Brian De Palma film called Phantom of the Paradise.
You told me about this. I didn't realize it was a Brian De Palma film, but that's my homework now. I have to. If
it
this is based on that movie, I have to see this movie.
It's a cheesy, over-the-top rock opera.
Oh, my God. How have I missed this?
In
this
the vein
like...
of Kiss meets the Phantom of the Park, kind of.
Oh, this sounds like exactly my kind of thing.
And Paul Williams did the songs for it. If you don't know who he is, look him up. He is a song master, but it's definitely a straight up homage. That's why I love
it. Can we take
show.
A break from recording this and watch it right now?
We could.
I'm getting the no from producer Daniel, but okay, we'll watch it later. I'm very excited for this.
We'll watch it later and we'll get your on the next episode we'll get your reactions
to
watching
perfect.
It. Maybe it'll be a Halloween flick that we watch.
Sure.
Yeah. You can all watch with us. If you haven't seen it, maybe have a mystery mojito or two before you.
I have not seen this, but I full-heartedly endorse it and say that you must go watch it before you listen to our next episode. Putting that out there.
Now, this Phantom is a little more dangerous than most of our standard villains because he knocks a speaker on top of one of the Hex Girls.
He turns into lightning and then shoots a lightning bolt at the speaker, which explodes and almost crushes
Thorn
to death. Yeah, it's
because they're the Hex Girls and they're not going to be afraid of him.
Oh yeah, he tells them to get off the stage and
in a rhyme.
And,
he rhymes,
of course he does. Ugh, exhausting. And not, is it Thorn? Is she the lead singer?
Yeah.
Is she the one? Yeah, she very sassily is like, no one tells the Hex Girls what to do. And I'm like, yeah, girl, that's right. No one does tell the Hex Girls what to do. But then he shoots her with lightning and the speakers collapse. And
fall. I thought
it's
kind of
scary. Yeah, she looks at least
she's
like,
pinned.
Injured. Yeah,
yeah,
she's pinned. Panic in the crowd, pandemonium in the theater.
And
Scooby, the Phantom just disappears.
Yeah,
just
Scooby runs into Shaggy's camera, and that's the footage they use. So you just see this distorted dog face running into camera. Rah! So yeah, that is the setting of the episode. The Phantom does not want the Hex Girls performing anymore.
And this is all before the opening credits.
Yeah, this is that's a lot to take in.
Buckle in, everybody. This is quite an episode.
Once again, this show makes me so happy. So then after the credits roll, we go backstage with the Hex Girls, and for some reason Thorn has she has an ice pack on her head, even though she's been, like, it landed on her torso.
Yeah, I mean, it could have knocked. I mean, when she fell down, she could have cracked her head, you know.
I guess. But she's fine, everyone.
They're all okay. They're all
okay.
She
is okay.
The Hex Girls will be fine.
She has an ice pack. Her crew member, Daniel, suggests canceling the tour because it's not safe. But the Hex Girls will have none of that, of course.
Yeah. Well, and the manager is like, this is totally just getting us more attention.
Yeah, the band's weird Austin Powers manager, Boggs, shows up.
He's got this weird British accent, baby, and speaks in slang that don't make a lick of sense.
The rum-tum-tum of the drums.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's a bit forced.
He is great. He does look like Austin Powers, and he speaks as if he was in the 60s, and he is the band's manager, and he is a great character.
He is kind of fun. He speaks as if he watched a lot of things from the 60s.
Yeah, like he was
through it. Like
very
influenced. He thinks the 60s was,
right.
But it's not really what the 60s was.
But
it's
he great. Also speaks sort of in rhymes like the Phantom.
He kind of does. Yeah, he's immediately a little bit suspicious. So
I
would list him as suspect
pants.
Number one.
Yeah. Fred agrees, though. Fred's like, yeah, we got to do the show and because he wants to trap the Phantom.
Right.
He believes that Thorn is the target, and so they want to replace Thorn.
With
somebody else. And who volunteers first?
Oh, Velma doesn't just volunteer. She shoves everyone aside. She's throwing elbows. And what's the line? I will gladly give my life for you girls.
So Velma is going through something right now. Yeah. She's, once again, Shaggy and her are on the outs after the prom.
Right. And she's kind of not addressed.
It's not addressed. You're right. They don't really say that, but
they keep their space. They're like hardly ever in the same frame. And they kind of shut down the whole Velma playing Thorn thing very
like they don't
quickly.
Even
they don't even
acknowledge
it.
Her.
Yeah.
Which also makes her sad.
It's a little harsh.
Yeah, this episode is not a good one for Velma and her mental state of mind.
We've had a few where she doesn't look so good kind of her own doing. In this one, she doesn't look so good because of circumstance and you kind of feel bad for her.
Wow, that's deep.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
I like her.
I don't
want to see my friends hurting like that.
My friends. Wow. So they turn to Daphne, of course, because Daphne looks the most like a Hex Girl, and they wonder if she can sing. All of a sudden, the spotlight shines on Daphne, and she's singing.
Oh, well, I don't know. Maybe I'll just belt out this perfect, beautiful line from one of your songs.
And she does, and they say, that'll
work.
They're like,
oh, all right. Like, damn.
And then, of course, Fred says she's bait, and that doesn't go over well.
Oh, yeah, she's like, wait, what? I'm going to, oh, okay.
Yeah,
she should be used to it by now.
So Velma's sulking, and Shaggy, Scooby, and Fred build traps on the theater's catwalk because Daphne's going to be Thorn, dress up as Thorn, and go on stage. Scooby's still refusing to help Shaggy when he accidentally
ties... He's being
really
standoffish and kind of bitchy.
Shaggy ties his hand to the railing, and Scooby says he's fine. And he's not.
Not.
Cut to that night of the concert. Daphne is nervous about going on stage.
Oh, we had her whole glam rock goth makeover.
Yes.
Before that, which is great.
We see her as Thorn. She has the wig on, and she's doing a good drag impersonation of Thorn.
Yeah.
She has this straight cut wig. It's great. It works with her her tones.
She looks just like Thorn, except for the eye color. Yeah. It's really the only distinguishing feature.
But yeah, Thorn and Fred are like, yeah, you can do this, Daphne. So she's like, okay. The concert begins. Daphne is impersonating Thorn. It's working great. But just a few minutes in, who appears?
The Phantom. Of course he does. But of course. That was the plan.
That was the plan. Fred and the gang spring the trap. But what happens, Chris?
They have a not-so-rare misfire with the trap. And two cages fall from the sky. Not sure why they set two
right,
up to
two
begin
cages.
With. But it traps Luna and what's the other girl's name? The other two members of the band, the other two Hex girls.
Dusk and Luna.
Dusk and Luna are now trapped in a cage, giving the Phantom an opening to abduct Daphne.
Yep.
Just straight Poof. Up wraps her in that magical, amazing cape, and then in a flash of lightning, they are gone.
And Fred loses
mind.
It again. Fred's mental breakdown, though, this is two or three for him at this point. But they meet with the sheriff, who doesn't seem to care at all.
He doesn't care at all.
He just wants to buy a Hex Girls t-shirt, which is really cool.
It is a
and
really
I would totally
cool
buy it.
Yeah,
it's $50, though.
He's really upset that the shirts are $50, because he's, trying to buy some for friends or something? For there's some reason he wanted several shirts. And he basically is like... Well, this might be missing persons or kidnapping, but there's a Phantom, so I don't know how to deal with this, so we're going to do literally nothing.
He walks away.
And straight up tells them, like, I'm not, I can't do anything about this, or I should call someone else. I'm not going to do anything about this, and then walks away with a t-shirt that he hasn't paid for.
Right?
Yeah.
This is making me think there's more to good old Sheriff Stone.
There's definitely something else going on here.
Than we're led to believe. And that's another thing about this episode. Normally, as you listeners know, I enjoy the episodes that increase the mythology of the season, that pushes the overall story arc. This episode does not do that at all, but I still love it.
Well, we get a lot of character development. You could argue that kind of pushes the plot forward.
A little bit.
The relationship of the kids moves the plot, too.
Yeah, so Fred's broken down again. Scooby searches the theater for leftover food, and Shaggy offers to get him some food. Scooby is still having none of it. Scooby is still ignoring him, pretending like he's not even there. And Shaggy says that they could end up needing new best friends. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Scooby's like, that's a great idea.
And he walks
away.
Challenge accepted by Scooby.
Dang, Scoobs.
Fred examines the catwalks and finds the trap was sabotaged.
There's like lotion all over.
There's
the ropes
lube on the
or something, which never really comes into play again. They never explain why the ropes would have been all lubed up.
Yeah,
but and like Fred's like, it couldn't have been me. I don't moisturize.
Fred is.
It's really funny to
Fred
me
is having
reason.
A monologue to himself on the catwalk, talking about his feelings for Daphne.
It's honestly the best place to monologue to yourself.
And Daphne,
is on the catwalk.
As we see, is right behind him, up in the rafters, tied up and gagged, and
hanging by a literal thread.
A thread which breaks right as Fred's about to say his feelings for her. She only hears a part of it.
Well, so he's saying, like, why am I so upset? Is it because my trap didn't work, or is it because Daphne's in danger? It must be because of the trap, because I'm a man, so I can't have feelings for a girl.
Which is the similar sentiment from the last episode.
Yeah, which he's kind of touched on this before, and then he discovers the trap was sabotaged, so he feels better that he's not a crappy trap maker, but then he's like, why do I still feel terrible?
But the
I don't want, and he says, I don't want to have feelings for Daphne or I don't want to care about Daphne, something like that.
Right.
And then the rope breaks.
And she plummets.
And so that's
and somehow
all
she
hears.
Doesn't die. She plummets from the rafters of a stadium, and no, they don't show anyone catching her.
Yeah, they just show her
tied
dropping
up.
From quite a height. And then Fred says something about something redeeming about his feelings for Daphne.
Yeah, after
she doesn't
she isn't here. Back on the ground, Fred finds that his dad is capitalizing on the fandom by moving the next Hex Girls shows to the Terror Dome Stadium. So
that sounds
Crystal
amazing.
Cove
I
has
go
two
to the
stadiums.
Dome.
This tiny town has two huge. And this once again inside
well, it
baseball.
It sounds like it's a bigger.
It
stadium.
Is. It's a bigger
so it's,
venue.
It's an upgrade. Yeah.
But the Terror Dome, if you look at it, once again, I'll post a picture
Tina
of
Turner
it.
Turner plays there all the time.
That's the Thunderdome, oh, but okay. It looks a lot like the Terror Drome from G.I. Joe the cartoon, where Cobra's base was. It's the exact same shape.
It does.
So
I miss
kudos
that.
To the designers.
That's great.
And the mayor has a declaration of Phantom Day. So he's really capitalizing on the
Phantom. And he straight up tells, and at this point Daphne's still missing, and he straight up tells the kids, don't mess with the Phantom. He's good for business. Never mind your missing, possibly dead friend. This town needs revenue, is the message.
And the town doesn't look like it's hurting, by the way. If they have two big stadiums, come on now. In comes Daphne, who only heard, I wish I didn't care about her. That's what he heard.
That's what she heard. Said. Okay.
Before she plummeted to her not death. Fred.
No, she's fine. She just shows up and she's good.
Fred tries to explain it, but she's finally having none of it. She's had enough.
She has her moment. This is her big like girl power, sister. You can do it on your own. Kind of moment, and it's actually pretty fabulous. Good for her.
And Velma even
comments on it in a little bit. Like, this is the first time ever you've stood up to Fred about your feelings. And, like, girl, I'm here for it.
And Scooby arrives with his new best friend.
Yeah, which is a little troubling.
Who is it, Chris?
Harry. His new best friend is Harry, who is a ventriloquist dummy. It's super creepy all around.
It is. It's Shaggy's dummy.
Oh, that's right. It's Shaggy's ventriloquist dummy.
Which, once again, for my diehard Scooby-Doo fans, from the very first season, we find out Shaggy is a ventriloquist in the 60s. He does have that skill.
Oh.
So, bravo to them for remembering that and bringing it full circle here with this creepy
deep cuts
puppet.
It's creepy.
Which... Once again, we need to call someone. It has to be based on
It's got to be based on something. It almost looks a little Chucky-esque.
It's Chucky-esque.
And it's got kind of the same proportions as the creepy kids from the
It does.
The previous
You're right.
episode. Where
okay.
the
Like the kids in town?
Yeah.
That are
where they get
to
where
be
they get creepified.
Buggins.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Rookified. Harry is being voiced by Scooby. Who's having a conversation with himself.
He does ventriloquism like I do ventriloquism, just basically like, hey, Chris, how's it going? Oh, you know, I'm doing okay. Yeah. It's like really poor and hilarious.
He's like, you wouldn't pick me over a girl over me. Rah, rah, rah.
Oh, never. Forever. Sorry, this is terrible.
This is great. This is what they paid for. Shaggy's trying to get help from Fred and Velma, but they're like, nope, we're out. This is too weird.
Very reasonable. Well, Fred straight up is like, I got my own problems, man. Like, he's really, it's kind of sweet. He's very conflicted about coming to terms with his feelings for Daphne, and he's very hurt that he thinks he hurt her and doesn't really know how to. He's simultaneously struggling with how does he feel about her, but also, like, how does he make her feel better? Like, he realizes he messed up. And he's classically Fred, very confused about the whole thing. But he wants to do the right thing. He's really earnestly trying to figure this out. It's really sweet.
Chris, crack me up.
What?
You're being moved by this show.
Yeah.
That's what we do here.
Character,
at the Mr. Machine
again,
Diaries.
A lot of character development in this episode. Except for Velma.
Except for she does. She in her without getting any, she gets a lot because we cut to Velma's house. That's the next thing we see. Velma's house. And from the looks of it, she doesn't have as much money as the rest. This is the I can't remember seeing the outside of her house before this episode.
Well, the other three kids live in mansions.
Yeah, Shaggy lives in a mansion, which surprised me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we see Velma's house. They're in Velma's room. Daphne's telling the Hex Girls to make her into a rock star.
She wants full-on glam rock makeover. She's over Fred. She's turned over a new leaf.
I wish they would have had a Hall & Oates, like, trying on hats montage.
Oh, my God. That's all it needed.
But we didn't get that. Velma is ignored by the band and Daphne, even though it's her house.
Yeah, they're in her room. And
So, yeah.
She's very much the odd one out in the whole scene.
Yeah, Zoinks. Yeah, Zoinks is the only word that just. But I guess, I mean, Daphne is the one that plummeted and probably has brain damage.
I mean,
at this point.
It's hard to say that they're being like deliberately exclusive or unkind because Daphne really is having a moment. Like,
and they're probably a bit afraid of Velma because she's that overzealous fan.
She is giving like. Full murder stalker realness towards the Hex Girls. So, yeah.
And Fred goes on his walk of self-discovery, like Danny Zuko in Greece.
Yeah, the only thing missing from that scene is him, like, skipping rocks into
or having
a pond.
Rain. Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking at his reflection and turning into Daphne in the water. It doesn't do that. But he's trying to figure out if he should care about her. And shouldn't put her in danger all the time, so...
Like, men don't have feelings, but if I have feelings, what does that make me?
Which is pretty weird and deep for a kid's cartoon to teach that men can have feelings.
Yeah, it's this whole, like, discussion about dismantling toxic masculinity.
It is.
It really is.
And I'm here for it. It's great.
It's actually, again, it's very touching. It's really good.
Daphne's made over. She gets her makeover.
She looks amazing.
And she's now the new fourth member of the Hex Girls. That was pretty easy.
Yeah, she's no longer just aping Thorn on stage. She's her own thing, guys.
She's her own thing, and we're part of it.
And not only that, she's the new lead singer.
She is.
Yeah.
Without any fuss or muss, she's now called Crush.
Yeah, Fred comes in and... demands to see Daphne, and Daphne's like, bitch, I'm right here. And he's like,
no,
what?
Stop joking. Where's Daphne?
And she's like, it's me.
Because he literally doesn't recognize
Crush.
He honestly doesn't recognize her in the makeover.
It's a good makeover. It is a big departure from her previous
look. Crush is it's a fine name. I would have picked something more gothic-y
than spookier.
Crush.
Yeah.
Thorna, Dusk, Luna, and Crush.
Storm.
She seems like
maybe, or
you know, third season add-on character that you don't really care about, like in Gem when they added, you know, different people.
Yeah,
but it works. She looks great. She has a midriff top and a skirt that is pencil thin. The world is her gynecologist
now.
Would
that be a
micro mini skirt?
I think. And like the tall stockings.
I can't imagine the straight like. People who write fan fiction about this, sexy fiction.
I don't know if we want to get into that.
Because that gave him plenty of ammunition. But it's a great outfit. We'll post a picture of it. She has a great choker on. She looks like she looks like Jean Grey from the Hellfire Club.
Oh, she does. He totally.
Which might have been.
That might have been some of the, I wouldn't be surprised if that was some of the inspiration. Because, yeah, she very much does.
She looks like Phoenix. Even her hair is all... flowing,
it's all teased up to the gods. Yeah.
So I'm going to say that was probably an inspiration. Velma is still amazed that Daphne is kicking Fred out. The Hex Girls push him out of the bedroom and slam the door.
To Velma's credit, even after not having the greatest day and being ignored by her idols, she's really supportive of Daphne through this like anti-Fred thing.
That's true.
That's great.
They're really good friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and we get a
friendship
really
goals.
Oh no, not yet. We get Fred's moment later. Sorry.
Later.
Yeah.
But it cuts to Shaggy and Scooby arguing while watching a Vincent Van Gogh movie, where.
I love this.
I love their little mini movies. They're watching him on TV in a black and white movie. He's talking to the '60s goth chick, and she's like, "I'd love you no matter what. No
you
matter what.
Love the monster inside if you knew me."
And
something
she's like,
that.
I sure would. And
would you even love me?
Tears
I had
face.
A lizard face.
No, I wouldn't. She no, runs off and he has a lizard face.
And then he's like, crying sad lizard man.
Yeah, he's just standing there with a lizard head.
I
Shades of V, the TV show.
When
for
we're
those of you
when we're
that.
Done with the whole series, I'm gonna have to see if we can find a Vincent Van Gogh supercut. That's just the Vincent Van Gogh movies throughout the entire thing, all strung together.
You'll be very happy to know that in a few episodes, there's a whole Vincent Van Gogh episode.
Yes! Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
We get backstory.
Excellent.
So they're watching that. Shaggy and Scooby are in the Hex Girls tour bus watching this. And Scooby's still speaking with Harry the puppet. And Shaggy tries to physically fight Harry. He's in a fight with the dummy.
With
Shaggy
the dummy.
Is rolling around on the ground, losing, actually, to the dummy.
He's getting his butt handed to him by an inanimate object. Yes.
And then Shaggy realizes this, and he literally knocks the puppet's head off.
He's like, what am I doing? And then smacks the puppet's head off.
Punches the doll's head off, and it lands right in front of the Phantom.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
And the Phantom, they do their chase in this big bus, the disappearing through different doors.
Yeah, the classic French farce, multiple doors.
But it's like
thing. But it's like the bathroom and the tour bus and like the little sleeping
cabins.
Yeah,
the little sleeping quarters with the curtains and stuff.
It's cute. I love that scene every time.
And then the Phantom has had enough of that, and he just sets the bus on fire.
Yeah. Him and Shaggy and Scooby are hiding. And it's like, you go look and see if he's still there. You go look. And then, like, do you smell burning? And they look out,
look
and, the
down,
bus
and the bus
is just
straight burning.
On fire.
And
which is the most like efficient way to solve one of these gags ever. You know, I'd love how it goes from this classic Scooby-Doo gag to, like, kind of, like, real and dark. Like, if I can't find you two, I'll just burn the whole thing to the ground.
And Shaggy's like, why don't you have your friend Harry help you? He's like, that's a good idea. And he basically throws Harry through the window. And that's
breaking
how they get
the
out. They swing
scared.
Through the window, and then the bus explodes.
Yeah.
90s explosion style, slow-mo explosion. And then Harry's puppet head rolls right at their feet. Scooby's freaking out, but Harry has
a clue.
He has some
He's
of the
got a piece of fabric in his
the
teeth.
Cape fabric in his teeth. And somehow Shaggy recognizes the fabric.
He picks it up. He's like, hey, I recognize this material. It's the part of a costume from Fancy Pants.
He goes on the ear tube, which is not, it's like YouTube, ear tube, to watch a Fancy Pants video. Dance in my pants.
Dance in my pants.
Dance in my pants.
Dance in my pants.
Basically, it's this guy with shiny fabric pants with stars and big poofy hair, sunglasses.
Huge lapels, giant cape.
Looking very 60s.
Yeah.
Ruh-roh.
And very
like MC Hammer-ish.
I don't know, glam rock Evel Knievel?
Yeah.
I'm kind
of
like,
wow. That's a good way of describing it. It's glam rock Evel Knievel.
All he's missing is a rhinestone motorcycle.
And there's
like
unicorns and castles in the background.
No, it's great.
Checkered floor.
Yeah.
But
oh, I'd also like to point out that Fancy Pants, his name is spelled FANTZEPANTZ. Great. Love it.
And so this has to be from like 2000. If to them it's old. And it's current time.
Right.
So Fancy Pants is the 2000s, early 2000s
Early
2000s, artist.
Maybe late 90s, which I don't really see that look playing then. I do see that look playing now.
But
with the way
is,
like retro has come back and everything. Like,
this
that
is
would
the
Hanna-Barbera
universe, and he does look like an amalgamation of all those bands. It's like if they took pieces of every band they had of the 60s and 70s,
all the
mystery
solving bands,
and they
yeah.
put it on one character,
right.
And it doesn't work. So they found another clue, Jinkies. And they think it's going to be the manager.
Oh, so they discover that Fancy Pants used to be managed by the Hex Girls' current manager.
Yes, by Boggs.
And so they immediately think, oh snap, it's Boggs.
And they confront him. Which is unusual.
It is unusual. They straight up confront him. Also, I thought it was a slightly weird direction, like that they took away from this. Oh, it must be the manager. When to me, it so clearly was like, well, maybe it's Fancy Pants himself. Like they don't even
right.
consider that it could have been the guy who owned the costume that they found a piece of.
But why would it be him? They don't
sure.
know yet why it would be him.
Right. They don't. They don't have any motive or anything.
Right.
But it was just a little strange.
So the manager is the only thing
that
links
glossed
them.
Over that entire, like, they didn't even think, what's he up to? It was straight up just like, let's go confront the
but
manager.
But they also don't have Velma's logic to help them out.
Oh,
she's
that's
not there.
True. Good point.
It's
good.
Fred,
she
Shaggy, and
thought
Scooby.
Of this. Okay.
The boys are taking it on themselves to confront the manager with a fabric and video. And the manager explains that Fancy Pants couldn't sustain a success. I can't imagine why.
He just kind of laughs them off, first of all.
Yeah.
He's very dismissive.
He's like, all pixie dust and lemonade or whatever, you know, some, you know,
I think
weird.
That's exactly what he says.
Yeah, and he cut him in favor of the Hex Girls. So he stopped managing Fancy Pants and he went to the Hex Girls,
yeah.
Which was a wise career choice,
yeah,
I believe.
For everyone involved.
But he thinks it's laughable that they think he could be the Phantom. When Scooby suggests that Harry will save the day, Fred gets inspiration from the puppet. Of course, Harry will save the day. Daphne tries to rehearse with the band, but has difficulty focusing because she still has.
Yeah, she's just not quite feeling it. She's distracted. She's preoccupied.
She's not just slutty Sandy. It's this Grease
she's
transformation.
Got depth. Yeah,
she's still a little bit Sandra D here. And Thorne tells her about her. Recalling her own Fred in her life, who was a carnival worker named Knuckles Wazinski,
yes.
Who loved carnival rides more than her.
He loved what the twirl and hurl more than he loved her.
Yeah. So she says she got over him by writing a song, and says, "Let's write a song, Daff."
I really like this at that moment.
It's
good
therapy.
It's very girl power. It's very good advice.
It's very Taylor Swift.
Yeah, it's very Taylor Swift.
A little
taste
swizzle in there.
Absolutely.
And, you know, 2010, T-Swizz was just coming on the scene in a major way.
We're living in a post-Spice Girls America at this point, so, like, yeah, get it, girls.
And so we now we're officially at the Terrordrome Stadium, and... we're going to get one of my favorite Scooby Daphne moments of all time.
The big concert.
The big concert reveal. The stadium. This is Daphne's debut as Crush.
Yes.
And she's all sitting gothic-y in a chair.
Dare
covered
I say
in a
she
cloak.
Crushes it.
Ah,
yeah,
I see
she does a
there.
Great job.
But she's going to sing a song that she wrote, and producer Daniel.
She's got a wonderful intro.
Trap of Love.
Trap of Love.
Love it. Love it. This was going to be the theme song of this podcast at one time.
It's actually a really solid song. And it sounds...
It's a whole song.
So they do the whole song. It's like it's... fully animated. We get the whole thing on stage. It plays like a music video. The song is actually really good. It's very
it explains
of
her
the times.
Her feelings of conflicting with Fred, and Fred's off stage listening to the song and slowly realizing what's happening.
It dawns on him, this is about me, and he gets it. For once in his life, Fred takes the hint.
It only took.
It's kind of nice. It only took a fully like produced stage show
with pyrotechnics
and a hit single.
And as she finishes the song, she sits back.
It's
and
very
I love,
Evanescence. The song.
Oh, it's very Evanescence.
Like it could have been
you
on the radio in
nail
2010.
On the head.
Yeah, it's like honestly, YouTube it. Trap of Love. It's
really
good.
We'll put it on the Facebooks and the Insta. I love how they end the song though, because they all like cross their arms like they're in a coffin. Love it.
Yeah, and then
and Daphne
like white
down.
Out of
yeah.
White out of fog, you can no longer see them. Curtain drops, fireworks go off. Like I'd have lost my mind at that show. It's great.
I really want to get a hold of Daphne's voice actress, Gray DeLuise. And
did she sing it, or did they bring in?
Think so.
Okay.
I think that's her. I want to find out. I would love to talk to her just about this episode. Whole thing.
We could do a whole special on just this episode.
We just might. You never know. Here at the Mr. Machine Diaries, hopefully you caught our Victor Cook special episode.
Yes.
Where we got lots of dirt from the man himself, the director, producer, you name it. He was involved with the show. Check out that very special episode. You can find it on iTunes and in our back catalog of episodes. So... the Phantom shows up because, of course, he's going to show up.
Yeah.
and he swings to grab
ready for him.
Daphne, who's supposedly sitting in the chair with her cloak on, but it's not Daphne.
It's not. It's Harry.
Which would surprise. If I was the Phantom, I'd be pretty freaked out if there was a puppet.
It thoroughly surprises the Phantom, and it thoroughly surprises us. And Harry is anchored to the stage via a rope, and so when he hits the end of that rope, it yanks the Phantom pretty violently to the ground. Like, looks like that landing hurts.
And it's a net. A net catches him.
Oh, and then a net falls from the ceiling. Right.
Very simple
very
trap.
Very well executed trap, Fred. This one is very
good
well done.
Good job. He was focused. He falls to the stage, immediately trapped by the large net. Mayor Jones shows up. He's disappointed the Phantom was trapped so soon, but agrees that...
He has a good, blistering buttercups, Fred, or something.
I hope that's what he said.
I'm pretty sure buttercups are involved.
But he agrees that he was a danger, so it was a good thing. Yeah. Finally, he agrees that, okay, maybe it was good that
he was
trapped.
I guess he was trying to murder children.
And we get the reveal...
And
it was
Fancy Pants. Called it.
You sure did. Fancy Pants, who is also their stagehand that no one recognized.
So I missed this entirely. I don't know if they hinted at it earlier in the episode or anything.
They showed him.
No, I know that they showed him, but the connection of this, roadie, who we thought he was just a roadie.
We see him about twice, and he's always there.
And looking back on it, he was the first one to suggest that we cancel the tour due to safety. So that does make sense. He's trying to get the girls off the road. And they also say that he's their songwriter.
Yeah.
Which I missed from earlier, too, if they brought that up.
They didn't. Because
Thorne
made it seem like they read their
own songs. I
tried
to put them out of business by writing crappy songs, but they could make anything a hit.
And then Thorne flips her hair. It's great.
Yeah.
She does a little hair flip.
She's like, bitch,
totally unneeded, but it's an amazing moment. Yeah. Like, the animator's like, just have to flip her hair.
Sass a frass. It's great.
She was jealous of their success and hit it pretty well for a while, apparently, until he had to become a Phantom.
Yeah. And so they put it together as it had to be someone with access to the tour bus and backstage. They don't cover how he managed to teleport all over the place and shoot lightning.
No, they don't. They don't say who built his spectacular suit.
His super suit, yeah.
But maybe it was Bud.
That's the only explanation in my
old
mind.
Old episodes.
Yeah. You'll remember him as the Man Crab.
Man Crab.
A few episodes back.
Who made an Iron Man suit by himself. Fancy Pants said he would have gotten away with it without if it wasn't for the uncanny boy band knowledge of you meddling brats.
Which is pretty solid.
It is solid, but he's not a boy band, but he's just a guy.
Well, I mean,
I love it though.
He fit into that kind of boy band pop thing of the time.
And after the concert, Fred compliments Daphne's song and admits that he has feelings for her. She happily receives his apology and they reconcile.
Well, it's even better than that. He gives a very tender, I see what you did with the song. I get it. And I'm sorry, and I'll leave you alone, but I do have to say that I have feelings for you, and I care a lot about you, but if you need to let me to let you go, I will let you go, because, I just want you to be happy.
He said, does that make sense to you?
It's the most emotionally intelligent thing Fred has ever said.
And she says, for a normal person, no, but for you, yes, basically.
Yeah,
it's
that's missing is a kiss.
They don't kiss.
Yeah.
They're standing outside, waiting for a ride, presumably, to go home. And they just kind of stand next to each other.
Their Uber pool is on the way.
The Mystery Machine's there, now that I remember it. It's there.
Oh, okay.
But the Mystery Machines where Shaggy and Scooby make up, because Harry was taken away. He was arrested by Sheriff Stone for some reason.
That's right.
He arrested the puppet.
For being too dang creepy.
Yeah, Shaggy offers his condolences to Scooby for the puppet being taken away, but Scooby eagerly reconciles with Shaggy.
Yeah.
Because they're best friends forever.
Yeah.
They hug, and they're best friends again. But then, once again, Velma.
Cut to Velma.
Cut to Velma, who is leaning against the Mystery Machine all alone in the dark.
All alone, and the takeaway I got from this was...
Her arms are folded.
Her realizing and being very and being upset at the fact that Shaggy cares more about Scooby than he does about her, and that he always will.
I think
she finally understands that this is insurmountable, that Shaggy's true what love of his life, I suppose, is Scooby.
Soulmates.
Life partners.
Yeah. Aw.
Aw.
And weird.
Yeah. But cute. Ultimately cute.
So that, in a long nutshell, is the episode. Now, Chris, I know that you enjoy an episode where you have to figure out who the person is.
I do. And I wasn't too...
It wasn't super obvious who it was.
It wasn't super obvious who it was. And like I said earlier, why didn't they go right to Fancy Pants? I kind of like that they didn't, though, because it was a little bit of misdirection, I think.
And as I mentioned, I like a mythology episode. This has no clues to the missing kids.
And we both like when they have references to other Hanna-Barbera cartoons or previous things, which is, there's not a lot in here.
There's
some stuff
in
the crowd, and there's Harry, but there's not, it's not like Pebbles and Bam Bam in the background,
right,
or something. It's not as explicit as
there's very few Easter eggs in this episode that I can see.
Yeah.
But, see, you guys, I told you not to let me say but. On the 4-paw scale, I give it 4 paws.
Even with the minor problems that we just pointed out, unreservedly 4 paws. This so far was my favorite episode.
This is where the show stands on its own.
So I'm also, we haven't discussed this, I'm a sucker for a musical number, and it's especially a musical episode. We haven't gotten a full musical episode yet, but Trap of Love right there sealed the deal for me 100%. Like, we could have just not had the rest of the episode, and it would have been at least 3.5 paws.
I kind of wish the episode
was
called Trap of Love.
It should have been. It should have been.
Damn. But again,
it's a really good episode. This is my favorite episode so far. It's so good. I love the Hex Girls. I love the music. I love Daphne's makeover, her arc, Fred's arc.
Everyone arced.
The shade of it all from Scooby-Doo himself is just wonderful. It's so good. Poor Velma. That's the only thing.
As we're wont to do here on this podcast, I'd like to dig a little bit deeper, especially to focus on the voice actors who don't get all the credit they deserve. Our Hex Girls, we have Thorn. Thorn, the Hex Girls have appeared 4 times in the Scooby, various Scooby universes.
Okay.
And they have been voiced by the same people.
Oh, cool.
So Thorn is voiced by Jennifer Hale. Some of you know her as the voice of Carol Ferris in the Green Lantern cartoon, the CGI Green Lantern. In the old school Iron Man 90s cartoon.
Oh, nice.
She was Julia Carpenter, Spider-Woman. And in the OG Spider-Man tune, she was Black Cat.
Oh.
So she's got that vixen-y roll down pat. My favorite voice actress of the group is Dusk, who is voiced by Jane Wiedlin of a very popular 80s band, The Go-Go's.
Really?
Yes.
I can hear you.
That is Belinda Carlisle singing. But Jane was the songwriter, co-writer of the songs, and bassist, and all around badass chick.
That's awesome.
She's continued to record. She's had a solo career. She's had several solo albums and doing voice work.
I was going to say, has she done a lot of voice work, or is this kind of
she
a one-off
has not.
For her?
This, I believe this is one of only a few times
she's
done that. And what I love is, at the time when she did the original voice work, she was living in a treehouse.
Delightful.
In 1999, she was living in a treehouse in a foreign country with her husband and kids.
I want that to be my life.
Yeah, but she couldn't resist the chance to be a voice in Scooby-Doo, so she came back for that.
I would leave my treehouse to voice a Scooby-Doo character.
I just thought that was so random
that's so
punk
cool.
rock.
Yeah, absolutely.
And finally, we have Luna, is Kimberly Brooks, who... Also, she has also been in a lot of things, much like Jennifer Hale. She's the voice of Cheetah and Giganta in the new Wonder Woman Bloodlines movie.
Nice.
She's in DC Superhero Girls, another show I love.
Okay.
She's Bumblebee.
Oh, okay, cool.
in Steven Universe.
I love that show.
I know. That's one of your favorites. She is Jasper and Malachite.
Oh, snap. That's awesome. I know. Jasper's a great character.
And in the web series Vixen, the DC character Vixen, she is young Vixen.
Nice.
So, yeah, she's been working for a long time. And unlike her character, she is African-American. It wouldn't have killed them to have made Luna African-American.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because they all seem to be white, the Hex Girls.
Yeah.
And Luna is
I don't know how much of that is goth stage makeup. But
Luna is the
Caucasian-y.
Keyboard player. She looks like she was in Prince and the Revolution. She looks like Wendy or Lisa, which is probably her
Totally.
Her
that's
design.
Probably the inspiration, yeah.
And we are going to hop back in the van because we have solved this mystery, Christopher.
That's, yeah, no, we put a stamp on that one. It's done.
And we do want you to watch along with us, folks. So if you haven't seen this episode, please, 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 after you watch The Phantom of the Paradise, go and watch this episode.
You're allowed to watch this before you watch The Phantom of Paradise. That's okay.
Chris, but where can they watch the show?
Please, please watch this episode, though. It is so good.
Where can they see it?
You can see it on Boomerang. That's how we've been watching the show, on the Boomerang app. You can also find it from... I imagine you can download it through any of your various streaming services.
I found out you can. Spectrum Cable has it, and so does Dish.
Oh,
if
great.
You type
Perfect.
In the search Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated, it has all of season one.
Very nice. Yeah. Where you can hop on your favorite media retailer and order some DVDs.
The DVDs are pretty inexpensive, like $5, $5 to $10 for a whole season.
Totally worth it.
And sadly, I don't even own them. I should really.
Yeah, we don't.
I was
have
waiting
a hard
for
copy
the Blu-ray.
Yeah, it's not out on Blu-ray, which is too bad. But yeah, yet. Hopefully it will be.
We would definitely like to thank you for listening. You're the reason we do this. We love this show. We want you to love this show, and we love to hear from you. So please hit us up on Instagram, on Facebook, at the Mystery Machine Diaries. We post a lot of fun stuff. And we want you to be involved. You're our meddling kids. That's what we call you. And we really want this to be a community experience.
Yeah, we couldn't do this without you.
So without further ado, Producer Daniel, take us out. Until next time, I am your ghost host, Brad, with a pup named
Chris.
And a meddling producer, Daniel. And we wish you all unpleasant dreams.